for economic and social justice.
I'm sorry I'm slightly late.
Ladies and gentlemen,
in the first place, I'd like to address the foreign correspondents. Now, I know that much has been written about Pakistan, much has been written against Pakistan. That's water over the dam. And as I said in the Security Council, mistakes have been made, people make mistakes. But let's not now make this into a personal issue. I'm right and you're wrong. Well, we've had to pay a very heavy price. And now, after having paid such a heavy price, the physical dismemberment of my country temporarily by a foreign country, unprecedented in the annals of contemporary diplomacy, I would expect sympathy and cooperation from the foreign press. I have today met the ambassadors of the great powers, and I've told all of them that we want to begin anew. We want to begin anew internally, we want to begin anew externally. No rancor, no bitterness, and in the spirit of understanding and cooperation. So, having said that much to you, ladies and gentlemen who have come from abroad, you're welcome to Pakistan. You'll get all the cooperation from our government. I expect now to spread the tentacles. We now will have a government for a change. And we'll have the necessary paraphernalia to look after you. I'll intend to appoint very soon a Minister for Information and Broadcasting who will have the bureaucracy. The bureaucracy had its own difficulties. They didn't have a sense of guidance, sense of direction. So it's not the fault of the bureaucracy either. There was a political void, and we suffered for a political void. We suffered badly for a political void. As far as my Pakistan friends are concerned, I know them all very well. I knew them as ministers, I know them personally, and now I say to them, I welcome you again. You belong to a great fraternity. You've written harsh things about me, you've written unfair things about me, uncharitable things about me, unkind things about me, false things about me, but I like you all the same. And let us work together now. Because you didn't do it, certain factors were responsible. And in this connection to the working journalist, the poor journalist, I'm telling him that I'm going to make new arrangements for the press trust, So long, the press trust has been the most mistrusted press in the world. We have a trust of the people, a people's press trust. And as the first step, I dismissed the managing director of the press trust, General Habibullah, a fattened industrialist who has lived on the fat of the land. He is dismissed as of today. And we will appoint a people's representative sympathetic to the people's requirements, the people's needs. This evening, I addressed the nation on the television, and so I won't like to speak too much. I don't want to unnecessarily bother people. I don't want to unnecessarily come in the press. I'm a man of action. I've got very small pieces to pick up, and we must pick them up. And we must make a Grecian urn out of it, a good urn out of it, because Pakistan was the will of the people of this country, will of the people of the Muslims of the subcontinent. Muslims of the subcontinent have never faced a defeat, and we are not going to face a defeat. Temporary setbacks we will take because of the decomposition of the social structure. I tell my jawans, I tell the officers, young officers in particular, that your struggle is not in vain. And I am prepared for good relations with India. I was always prepared for good relations with India. But relations based on justice and equity, on the rights of India and Pakistan in the subcontinent. Not a relationship imposed on Pakistan. Not a relationship imposed on India. Not a dictated relationship, because that can't be lasting. We want a lasting settlement. We don't want to be torn by war after every 5 to 10 years. We are the poorest people in the world. And we have made a laughing stock of ourselves. We made a fool of ourselves. Now let us turn a new chapter. For a new chapter based on justice and equity, tolerance, not on the sense of victory and defeat. There can be no victory and defeat in that sense. Then it will be the victory of the dying over the dead. Because we will die rather than to submit to that kind of victory. I know others have said this, use the same words, but I am not others. I'd much rather shoot myself than to allow that kind of victory to be imposed on the people of Pakistan. Who is Jagjeevan Ram? To impose a settlement on Pakistan. They cannot impose a settlement on Pakistan. I am prepared to talk to the government of India. But I am prepared to talk to the government of India on the basis of honor and equity, on the basis of the rights of the people of Pakistan, on the basis of justice, on the basis of a permanent and a fair settlement, but not with a sword of Damocles hanging over our heads and not with gloating over what they consider to be their temporary victories. East Pakistan is a part of Pakistan. East Pakistan will always remain a Pakistan, a part of Pakistan. I want to enter into direct negotiations with our Bengali brethren without any foreign occupation, without any foreign influence. We can cover the field among ourselves from one end of the spectrum to the other. But the settlement must be between West and East Pakistan. Whatever that settlement is, it must be between us. I do not want to cover the past. I do not want to go into the past, because the past is a sordid past. It's a bad past. It's a terrible past. I don't want to say what impediments were placed for us to come to an understanding between East and Pakistan after the elections. That chapter of history will be written later. I don't want to touch upon it now. But we want a free slate, a clean slate, to arrive at a settlement between the genuine leaders of Bengal, of Muslim Bengal, and the genuine leaders of West Pakistan. And I believe we can come to a fair settlement within the concept of one Pakistan, of a united Pakistan. No matter how loose that federation is, no matter how loose that arrangement is, I still, something tells me in my heart, intuitively, that we can swing it. I am prepared to make every effort to swing it. I am prepared to make every endeavor to swing it. So this is my message to the world and to the people of Pakistan. Have faith, have confidence in your elected leaders. I tell the armed forces, please be patient. I am going to restore communication with you. I have already taken certain action, strong action, which no ordinary man would have taken tonight, in removing some of the fat and flabby generals. And they are the vaderas of the army. And we are against vaderas everywhere. So please, the armed forces, believe me, we are part of the nation. We will support you. We will stand by you. We will redeem this day. And we will do it soon, not too late. What are 5 years, 10 years in the history of a nation? We've got a civilization of 5,000 years. I'm prepared to take all the risks. I can take all the risks because the people are with me. The supremacy of the people is the greatest supremacy. The people are taller than the Himalayas, and I am taller than the Himalayas because the people are with me. So don't worry. I will never take any action which is motivated by cowardice. I'll take action which is right. I will take action against corruption. Strongly I'll come down on corruption. I'll take action against nepotism, against maladministration. I will take action in the highest conformity of national interest, in the highest conformity of the people of Pakistan. And as long as I can do it, as long as I'm able to do it, as long as I'm given the liberty to do it by the people of Pakistan, and if it means that I have to perish as an individual, I do not mind, because the ideal and the thought will remain, because the ideal and thought of Pakistan is permanent. And let me tell my journalist friends that I'm available to you at any time, whenever you want. I'm available to the people of Pakistan at any time. Whether it is morning, evening, afternoon, I am not a man who works for 2 hours in a day. I am a man who works for 24 hours in a day. And I will be available wherever you want me. In Rahim Yar Khan, in Goistan, in Bahawalpur, in Bahawalnagar, in Mirpur Khas, wherever the poor people of Pakistan want me, wherever they need the leaders to be with them. I know that they have been misguided, they have been betrayed. But I ask the people of Pakistan, please be a little patient. Please wait for us. You have waited for 24 years. You have waited for 200 years. Now, just wait a little. and we will see to it that your needs are served, that the bureaucracy tyranny comes to an end, and that we build a new and brave Pakistan. I want the cooperation of everyone in the building of a new and a brave Pakistan. Pakistan Zindabad, and our great religion of Islam Zindabad.
You spoke about everybody, but you didn't refer to the prisoners who had been in the movement. You didn't refer to them at all.
Which prisoners?
The people who during the movement.
Political prisoners.
Political prisoners.
Yes, yes. Step by step, but if you want an answer to that, all political prisoners, except those charged with treason or wars against the state, I intend to release them very soon.
Mr. President, I think the world, having heard you speak of forgiving and forgetting the past, of dealing with the coup leaders of East Pakistan, would like a direct answer to the question of, will you release Sheikh Mujib, and would you negotiate with him under certain circumstances?
Please bear with me for a moment. First of all, I must go to my people. My people have been told a lot of lies. They've been deceived. They've been deceived too much. They have been cut off from reality. You know what the... when I went abroad, I came to know what was happening. When I reached Kabul, when I went to Tehran, I came to know a little more. When I reached Frankfurt, I came to know a little more. Because in the press here, we were being told one thing, and the reality was different. And when I could be misled to some extent, although I was beginning to see between the lines and to smell something, I don't know what our poor people think. That's why this is a sudden thud. That's why the people are staggered, bewildered. So I must go back to the people and tell them the truth. I will not bypass the people. I will never bypass the people. I need time. And when I say time, my dear friend, I don't need months. I need a month or so to go to the people, tell them the truth, how we stand, where we stand, what has happened. And in politics, there's no finality. And I would much rather do everything possible for a one united Pakistan and exhaust all options than to take a rigid position and to take an uncompromising position. But first of all, let me go to my people.
Are you saying, sir, that it is a possibility then?
I'm saying let me first go to my people. Unconditionally, I'm prepared to work for a new settlement within the concept of one Pakistan.
Sir, can I ask you, why have you become president, and what sort of president do you expect to be?
I expect to be a figurehead president at the service of my people. I expect to be to put my thumb impression on anything that the people say. I'm a servant of the people. But as far as vested interests are concerned, as far as putting things right are concerned, I shall not remain a moment in this chair if I cannot effect the decisions that my people want.
Sir, what truth has to be told to the people in connection with Sheikh Mujib?
You're a clever man. I know you very well. Wait for some time.
Mr. President, can you tell us the whereabouts of ex-president Yahya and what his status is at the moment?
Last time I met the former president, Yahya Khan was in the president's house. I've heard some stories after that, but I've been too busy in dealing with fundamental problems to confirm them.
Will any action be taken against Yahya Khan, as suggested by some prominent Pakistanis?
Prominent Pakistanis are those who have got the people's mandate. We had elections in December 1970. To me, the starting point that answers your question, for me, the starting point of any future negotiation or giving my ear to anyone is dependent on the elections of December 1970. I do not consider anyone to be prominent who has not been thrown up by the people. That's why tonight I have abolished and discarded the phony elections that were held this October.
So you have no intention of instituting any proceedings against the former government?
I did not say that. I said when you said made a demand by prominent people, I don't regard those people to be prominent. Because I know they've been sponsored by certain outside powers. And in my absence, they tried to create some mischief. But I do not regard them to be prominent. I only regard those people, individuals, to be prominent who have been thrown up by the people. Your question was put in a different context. if you ask me a question in a different way, that you intend to institute any inquiries against the former government, then I can put back and answer your question. Your premise, I do not accept. That those people who were defeated miserably in the last elections and who are opportunists, who are time servers and weathercocks, I don't regard them to be prominent.
Could you answer the question in your own context then,
yes,
please, Mr. President?
Anything that the people want, I do not want. I do not want to be a party to unaccountability.
Mr. President, can you assure us that Sheikh Mujib is still alive?
Well, before I left Pakistan, I was told he was alive. I made this inquiry immediately on my return, and I was told he is alive. But I have not personally met him.
Will you hold any inquiry of leading circumstances of ceasefire?
I have answered the question. I am not bloodthirsty. I am not a vindictive person. I do not like to see blood, but whatever the people want, and whatever is necessary, and whatever is right, will be done by me.
Is the former president still in this country, and is he free or is he under house arrest?
He's here. He's not under house arrest.
Would he be placed under house arrest?
This is a free country. He's not under house arrest.
Do you intend that he should stand trial?
I've answered that question. It's a premature question. There are many matters that have to be answered. Many explanations have to be given. But I have got so many matters to attend to that I cannot give a direct answer to this question.
صدر محترم بعض شہروں میں مظاہرے ہو رہے ہیں کچھ لوگوں کے خلاف مقدمہ چلانے کے بارے میں
مظاہرے ہو رہے ہیں
اس کی پاکستان کی صورتحال کی
مظاہرے ہو رہے ہیں مظاہرے ہوئے ہیں لیکن اب فی الحال میں نے آج آپ کو معلوم ہے کہ ریڈیو اور ٹیلیویژن پر تقریر بھی کی ہے یہاں بھی میں نے جواب دیے ہیں میں ایک عوامی نمائندہ ہوں میری جماعت کو اکثریت ملی تھی 1970 کی الیکشن میں اس لیے اگر ہمیں موقع دیا گیا ہم عوام کی خدمت کریں گے ہم قوم کی خدمت کریں گے ہم پاکستان کی سالمیت کو برقرار رکھیں گے اور انشاءاللہ تعالی جو مصیبتیں ان کا حل ہم ڈھونڈیں گے عوام کی مدد کے ساتھ اور عوام کی تعاون کے ساتھ
یہاں پہ صدر مقدمہ چلانے کے بارے میں مطالبہ کیا جا رہا ہے
ویری سون
جناب صدر مظاہرین
مقرر
Mr. President, do you intend a presidential system in this country?
No, I am not going to impose a constitution on the people of Pakistan. We've had enough of imposition of constitution. I want to fight for democracy. I am not a person who has been thrown into power by an undemocratic means. I have been brought into office because I got the majority of the votes in the last elections. I am at the service of democracy. I have fought for democracy. I want democracy in Pakistan. I want the rule of law in Pakistan. I want constitutional government in Pakistan. I want to see that there's a role for the opposition, there's a role for the government. I want to see what's happening in other countries. And I am committed to democracy. I'm committed to social justice. I'm committed to progress. And I can assure you that I will do everything in my power to restore democracy. I hate this epithet that has been attached to me, Chief Martial Law Administrator. I don't like martial law. I have opposed martial law. I would not like to see martial law remain 1 minute longer than necessary. And I will make every effort to see that martial law is removed from Pakistan. And I'm not making any commitments now because I've only taken over today. But in the near future, I'll give a date. Oh, I hope to give a date, and I can assure you that I will stick by that date.
How long
has
your constitution been
formulated? Mr. President, what about the convening of the National Assembly?
Yes, that also depends on our negotiations with our brothers in East Pakistan. The two are interconnected. First of all, first thing I want to do is to resume negotiations with the genuine leaders of East Pakistan within the framework of One Pakistan, and once we have come to a settlement, or we have failed. We can either come to a settlement or we can fail. Then we can proceed to the second step. Because now proceeding to the second step would be hypothetical. First, we must come to an agreement on the structure of our country. Once we have determined that, then we will not find any difficulty in determining the constitution and the quantum of autonomy. As far as the quantum of autonomy is concerned, once we have determined the structure, we are prepared to accept any quantum of autonomy.
Mr. President, so who are the accepted representatives of East Pakistan? Do you consider Sheikh Mujib a leader of East Pakistan?
I have answered your question.
No, you haven't, sir.
I have answered.
You have not. Answered. You identify
unless you want to be unnecessarily difficult.
No, I do not wish to be unnecessarily difficult.
But no, you see, the question is this, that I have to first go to the people of West Pakistan. I have to first carry public opinion. I cannot act in a void. I am not a man thrown up by the guns and by the bullets. I must go and talk to the people. I cannot bypass the people. Please understand my difficulty. Sheikh Mujibur Rahman is not a very popular person in West Pakistan. Many things have been said, many things have been done, and I must first go to the people. Please give me that opportunity.
Yes,
I will answer your question once I've got that opportunity.
But more than half of the people of your country are from East Pakistan.
Yes, I know.
He is an elected representative.
I know all that. I'm not new to politics. I don't have to be taught this. I know all that. Believe me, give me some time, and I think you will, everyone, my people will be satisfied, the world will be satisfied, all of you will be satisfied on the basis on which we proceed. Please give me just a little time. And I'm not going to spin it out. Give me a little time. First of all, I must go to my own people. I have to go and address the people of West Pakistan first, in Lahore, in Rawalpindi, Peshawar, Hyderabad, Multan, 4 or 5 centers. And after that, I'll answer your questions specific, in concrete terms. Please do not, because you know, you're not contributing to the solution of our problem. Don't go into details now. I have only taken over today. I will go into details only when my ground is clear.
Yes, sir, Mr. President. What would be the loose ties which you want to see with the East Pakistan in the future?
I beg your pardon?
What would be the very loose ties which you would like to have with East Pakistan in the future?
My condition is one Pakistan. Framework, no matter how loose that is. It can be very loose.
Would that mean a federation?
I've answered your question.
Sir, what about the military governors of the provinces? Are they being replaced?
Please give me some time. I have, from the moment I took over, it was about 1:30 or so, I've been all the time attending to these problems. And you would be satisfied. Believe me, all that I want to do is to see that the people of Pakistan are satisfied. Pakistan again acquires the respectability in the world. You know, we've been given a hell of a bashing. We've been given a hell of a bad name. We are not barbarians. We are civilized people. We've got 5,000 years of civilization behind us. But we've been given a terrible bashing, and I'm sure as a sensitive Pakistani, and I'm a sensitive Pakistani, you have not liked it. Now I say to all those who have given us a bashing, please lay off our back, stop kicking us in the teeth. We are going to put our house in order. You now please look at our problems a little more sympathetic. Don't think that we are a small country compared to, it's not the size of a country, it's the cause of a country that matters. It's the cause that matters. Not the size of a country. We have many options open to us. We're not down and out. A half of our country is under foreign occupation, but we're not down and out. So much of the Middle East is under foreign occupation. So much of Europe was under foreign occupation. So much of China was under foreign occupation. So we have lost a province, we've lost our major province. We will regain it. We'll regain it with the consent of the people. We have no reason to feel diffident. We have no reason to feel pessimistic. Truth is with us. Otherwise, 104 countries would not have supported us in the United Nations. Well, some pragmatists might say, so what? Security Council did not. But Security Council also did. Only one great power supporting another. Well, they wanted to reverse Cuba, and it was reversed at our cost.
مشرقی پاکستان میں قتل عام جو کیا جا رہا ہے مغربی پاکستان کے لوگوں کا اس کے بارے میں مغربی پاکستان میں بڑی تشویش پائی جاتی ہے آپ
کام کر رہے ہیں کوشش کر رہے ہیں ہم بین الاقوامی کوشش کر رہے ہیں اور ان شاء اللہ میرا خیال ہے کہ چند دنوں میں کچھ نہ کچھ ہم کر سکیں گے یہ قتل عام کا ہمیں بڑا افسوس ہے بڑا ارمان ہے لیکن سلامتی کونسل میں اور بین الاقوامی کوششیں ہو رہی ہیں
Mr. President, you said today that you've met with the ambassadors of the great
did great powers,
great powers,
the super duper powers.
Did you meet with the Soviet ambassador, and what are your relations now and future relations with the Soviet Union?
We have to live in the same area. We will have to live together, and we would like to have good relations with the Soviet Union, but this involves a reciprocal arrangement.
Mr. President, in your talk to the people this evening, you mentioned that Pakistan had been the victim of a conspiracy by two great powers. Would you be willing to elaborate on that?
Well, I would say one great power and another country that considers itself to be a great power but is so hollow that it stinks.
Mr. President, you declined to forecast the future. Can you tell us exactly what happened when you arrived at the President's house today, what you said to the retiring President and what he said to you? Can you describe the scene to us?
Yes, sir. I told the retiring President that in my humble opinion that we are facing this situation today merely because power was not transferred soon after the military action in March. Every country has a right to defend its unity and national integrity and to fight secession. But there are methods and means to fight secession. You take action, of course sometimes military action necessary. But right from April onwards, we pointed out repeatedly and quite vigorously that unless political action complements and finally supplements military action, we would find ourselves in a terrible dilemma. And right, you see my statements, right from April we've been saying that. And on the 29th of September I said by the end of this year, situation might be out of everyone's hands. Because people, intelligent people can anticipate these events. And I told him that we have suffered terribly for not having transferred power, for not having had a dialogue with the people, and now we have very small pieces on the ground. These small pieces are fast turning into ashes. Either you recognize the reality now at last and allow us to pick up these pieces and with the help and cooperation of our people try to make an urn again, or else I'm not interested. I'm not going to rock the boat because the country is facing a terrible crisis. I will just retreat into the background and you carry on going from one blunder to another.
What did he say to you?
He said, I want you to be sworn in.
A lot of people expected you to become Prime Minister. Why did you become President? Why didn't you take over as President?
That's because that's a more humble office.
What was the mechanism? But you're going to have complete power, which is what you accused.
I'm going to relinquish it very soon. And secondly, as far as my authority is concerned, it stems from the people. Because I was elected by the people. By overwhelmingly, and I'm going to associate East Pakistanis into my regime if they prepare. But East Pakistanis, those two who got elected in the last elections, in the December 70 elections, I'm not going to add any provocation to the situation. I'm going to offer Mr. Nurul Amin and the Chakma chief a position in the new government. They were the two who were thrown up by the people in the December 1970 elections. They're welcome to join the cabinet. They're welcome to hold high office.
Weren't there 157 other people thrown up in that same election?
Yes, we go from place to place. We will.
Just singling out those two as the
Please, let us go. Let us go step. Let us go step by step because these are the only two available to us today. Please be. I mean, please be reasonable. I'm not being sharp. I'm going on a practical consideration. I know you went mad with me at Dhaka, but don't go mad now. We are going to do our best to collectively come to us.
Mr. President.
I met the ambassadors today of all the great powers. That was a routine visit. I wanted to give them my preliminary thoughts. But I had an extremely satisfactory meeting with President Nixon. And as a former Yankee-baiting foreign minister, I want to tell you that we are expecting and hoping for a new chapter in our relations.
Could you be more specific and tell us exactly what he said to you and what you discussed?
You know, you don't like to burn your fingers. It's going to be very difficult what you talk with the president of a great power. Point is that he understands the implications of a change in the equilibrium in the subcontinent. You know what's happening in the Middle East. You know what's happening now in Asia, in the subcontinent. And he knows the implications are not just a limited war between two underdeveloped countries. And if the world could have had to face Vietnam for so many years and the consequences of Vietnam, the subcontinent is a subcontinent inhabited by over 600 million people.
It's an extremely important part of the world, strategically, in terms of history, humanity, and the great powers cannot be oblivious to the future of the subcontinent. The preponderant balance of power cannot be permitted to shift in another direction. In the Middle East, you have basically a similar situation. You don't want the preponderance of power to shift either one way or the other in order to, for military victory to be inflicted on the opponent at the cost of certain accepted positions. Now in the subcontinent, unfortunately, temporarily, that military balance of power has shifted by the recent events. I don't think that it's in the interest of some of the great powers to allow that to happen for all times. You used to write so much in favor of me when I was against me when I was not a foreign minister. That shows that freedom of the press.
I'm nobody, Mr. President. I belong to the people of Pakistan. I speak for them.
We went to school together.
Well, there's a principle involved. Principle involved is that he's been elected by the people in the last election. I'm going by the principle, and I don't see why that should be provocative if I come out with certain other statements after I have consulted the people, after I've got the approval of the people. Because I go to the people for approval on certain very hard decisions, on certain very unpopular decisions, because the people have been misled. So I must first go and clear the cobwebs. And after I've done that, I'm prepared to take the subsequent steps, but that should not take too long.
Mr. President, is it possible for you to foresee any contact with these Pakistani leaders?
I know.
At the present moment.
Sooner the better.
How can you contact them?
I have better means than you. No, direct.
Mr. President, you haven't answered my question. You've made a very flattering statement, but I'm not one of those women to be flattered.
I know that also.
You have to give us a commitment on the freedom of the press. There's any journalist here who has suffered.
I've already taken the first step. I told you that I'm going to take some action regarding the press trust. And as much as you have suffered, we have suffered. I think we have suffered more than you have suffered. The calumny that has been thrust, that has been hurled against us, the abuses, the slander. But we intend to take all these steps, and I've said that we have already taken action that the managing director of the press trust should be removed straight away, and the editor of Pakistan Times, to satisfy you, should also be removed straight away. Mr. Sulaiman.
Very good.
Sir, can you describe the method?
There was a proclamation by the president, and there was a corrected the proclamation and oath of office taken by me. Because the proclamation came by virtue of being the chief martial law administrator.
Mr. President, what will be your practical approach to India in the next coming days?
I told you it depends a great deal on India's attitude as well. If India thinks that she has secured magnificent military victories and now she can dictate her terms to Pakistan, then she is sadly mistaken. India has two options open to her. One is to come to honorable and just equitable terms with Pakistan and live in the same subcontinent on the basis of the Pakistan that was established in 1947, or else India must feel that she can impose a will on Pakistan. If she does that, then I'm afraid it's going to be a house-to-house fight, impeccable, imperishable hostility between the two peoples.
We've had enough of it. We want to put an end to it to serve the poor people of Pakistan, and there's poverty in India as well. But it depends on India's attitude. And it not doesn't depend alone on our attitude, because we will not submit. You see, there are two alternatives open to us also. Either to accept defeat or to muster defiance. I would never accept defeat. Then it should be defiance. If India wants to prevent defiance, then there's a third method, open neither to India nor to us, to lay down arms honorably and to serve the poor people of India and to serve the poor people of Pakistan, live and let live, like Sweden and Norway are living, like Germany and France are living, like many other former opponents are living in the same region of the world. It's now left to them. We will take political initiatives to see in which direction they want to go. We have two alternatives, they have two alternatives. Are we going to remove our alternative? Are they going to remove their alternative and take the real course? And in that, all of you can cooperate.
Sir, what do you call honorable and just?
Well, Pakistan as it existed in 1947 and the settlement of Jammu and Kashmir dispute.
Mr. President, as a logical man, I know you are, you will not accept the loss of East Pakistan as a fair conflict.
These are temporary phenomena. Realities change. I can assure you that soon you will find the Pakistan sentiment in East Pakistan blossoming, because you will see what's already I am getting reports which do not surprise me but only confirm my own thoughts. Two more questions,
Mr. President. Do you anticipate anything like resuming relationship with India?
That depends on India as well. I've answered that question. If they want to live properly, sensibly, on the basis of the understanding of 1947, Pakistan and India, and the settlement of the Jammu and Kashmir dispute, certainly, why not? We live together. We can't carve ourselves out of the subcontinent and go somewhere else.
You must talk to them. That's to say, either a summit meeting, or diplomatic relations, or something else. What's it going to be?
We'll work on it. We're working on it. Already we're working on it.
So my some people have noticed that you didn't mention anything about Kashmir in your broadcast.
You see, the question is that if India wants to impose the will of people of East Pakistan by her own interpretation through military force, certainly she has a right to be asked the question, now what about the promise you made to the people of Jammu and Kashmir? But, my dear friend, first things first. First thing we have to do is to vacate aggression of our territory in East Pakistan. Because unless the Indian occupation is vacated, we really cannot talk in an atmosphere of freedom and without foreign interference with our brothers in East Pakistan. And Kashmir has remained a disputed territory. Bengal, Muslim Bengal, our Bengal, our Sonar Bangala has never been a part of India. And India wants to take our golden Bengal. She wants the economic benefits of our golden Bengal. Golden Bengal belongs to Pakistan. Not because I say so, because the people of golden Bengal wanted to be a part of Pakistan.
How are we going to get the Indians out of golden Bengal, sir?
World opinion, great powers, India's own interest, because she'll see that her remaining in golden Bengal is a diminishing return by the moment. Today only they tried to hoist the Indian flag on the government house and it was burnt down. Isn't that? And things are happening. There'll be trouble between the Mukti Bahini and the Indians. There'll be trouble between the leftists, rightists, all sorts of factors. You know, I shudder to think as to what the future of that unfortunate province or that unfortunate land of ours will be. Bengal, both Golden Bengal and Bangladesh of India, East and West, have both suffered so much. If you go right back into the history, right from 1712, it's been a tragic history. And a new leaf must be turned. It must be turned soon. The spiral of revenge must not go up and up. Tension must not be added to tension. Somewhere someone with vision, somewhere someone with sense of humanism must say, we cut the Gordian knot. And this is what's going to happen to Bengal. The streets of Calcutta are full of people who are sleeping there on the road. So there's no picture of hope for my Bengal, for Golden Bengal to be a part of India. The India's Bengal is not California. India's Bengal is not San Francisco or United States, where you say, let's go to the promised land. That's not the promised land. That's the slum of the world. My Bengal will not go to the slum of the world. But we have been victims of mistakes. But the victims of mistakes does not mean that we must be dismembered.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.